quite interesting story that popped up on my news feed last week, early morning email from the New York Times, and its top story was how the U.S.'s Food and Drug Administration approving three e-cigarette products, vape products, because they say it could help provide a tool for smokers to wean themselves off tobacco and nicotine. It has caused some consternation, particularly here in South Africa, with the National Council Against Smoking saying that this decision is worrying, that it may encourage particularly young people to take up a form of smoking. Dr. Sharon Nyatsanza is with the National Council Against Smoking. Sharon, thanks so much for joining us here on the Morning Review. Your first thoughts on the FDA approving at least these three vape products, saying that they could, and that their researchers found that it could provide an outlet for people to start weaning themselves off tobacco products. Surely that is the ultimate goal, isn't it? To wean people off tobacco and nicotine products?
Yes, you know, that really is the ultimate goal. We're trying to get more and more people to stop smoking. So that is the challenge, really. And the FDA here, we see that they approved three of the 13 WHO's products, and they're allowing them basically to be sold on the U.S. market under strict marketing regulations. So what we do see again is, you know, the challenge again is how this decision and how is captured in the media and how it's translated to, you know, the whole of the globe. And we do see when we read the FDA report, we see that the other 10 WHO's products which were denied was mainly because these were actually flavored, e-cigarettes. So the ones that were actually approved were not flavored. And the FDA feels that this may actually help people to stop smoking. But the fact still remains is that the FDA's decision does not change the fact that there's still inadequate evidence to show that this may be effective. But we still see in South Africa, for example, high rates of dual users. So 8 in 10 vapers are also using tobacco products, and that actually is more dangerous. And again, as you mentioned, we're still concerned as well about young people starting to vape because they will be twice more likely to continue to use tobacco products.
The FDA quotes two Oxford scholars that said that e-cigarettes with nicotine are not risk-free, but are considerably less harmful than smoking. And you rightly point out, it's only products that have that are tobacco and nicotine products and not the flavored, fruity flavors of other vape pens and vape products that has been approved. They're really looking at trying to wean people off the existing tobacco and cigarette and other tobacco products.
Yes, you know, definitely. So obviously the debate has been how less harmful are they? And there's still definitely going to be debate. And one of the reasons is because this product has been in the market for about 10 years. So it's still relatively young. Actually, another study, I think it was released about two weeks ago from the University of Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. They actually found that there are thousands of unknown chemicals that are coming when people vape. So yes, the debate is how less harmful it is, and we still don't know. But we still know that, you know, vaping is still linked to lung disease, to heart disease, to increased odds of you know asthma and COPD. So there are still health risks that are linked to this. And of course, it will take time for the public health community to fully understand the risks. But that is why the National Council Against Smoking has been advocating for the regulation of e-cigarettes. And we see here the FDA, they are approving products before they go into the market. But in South Africa, it's quite disappointing that anyone can sell e-cigarettes in any flavor. We don't even know what's in them. There's no regulation whatsoever. So that is really what we're advocating. We're not saying ban e-cigarettes. We're saying regulate them, to minimize the potential risk and also to allow informed adult use.
How far then is the Tobacco Control Bill into coming into law, which could provide that policy framework, particularly when it also then regulates vaping products and e-cigarettes. There are parts that of that proposal that does then include vape pens, e-cigarettes, other electronic devices where people use to inhale some form of vapor or smoke.
Yes, so you know the tobacco control bill is still within the Department of Health. We'll only know when it leaves the Department of Health and goes to cabinet and goes to parliament, etc. But the bill is very critical, but because it also regulates e-cigarettes. So things like the marketing, it will regulate the marketing of this product. It will regulate the packaging, labeling, health warnings, for example, where you can use them. Because we still know, for example, that the vape is not harm-free. So is it fair for someone to use it in a public space? These are some of the considerations that are being made. But the bill will basically close this regulatory loophole and ensure that we minimize harm and also keep out some of the totally unacceptable e-cigarettes as well off the market. Because currently we don't know. We just see. I think if you go into the malls, you've seen this. These products are being marketed and they're colorful. Sometimes some people argue that they are being targeted at the youth. So these are some of the concerns that the bill comes in to try and close up.
Sharon, I can only speak from my anecdotal experience. I'm probably not around younger people to be attracted who are hanging around malls, but from the people that I know who have used e-cigarettes or vape pens, using it as that weaning off process from tobacco cigarettes, then then converting to vapes and pens and things like that, and hopefully with a plan to completely go off sucking in smoke or some form of vapor. Is there any research that has been done that says, well, we're seeing more people who haven't smoked before going straight to vape pens and e-cigarettes?
Yes. So currently there's research being done, not published yet in South Africa. But, internationally, the evidence, again, is contradicting. What we do have here in South Africa is they've seen that people who have weaned off using e-cigarettes, they actually relapse. So over a long term, after about 6 months, they see that these people actually are more likely to relapse and go back again to use tobacco products. So, for example, someone might stop using tobacco and start vaping. But I think the most important issue is then, firstly, are they able to maintain that? Are they able not to go back to tobacco? And eventually, are they able to stop completely to use any nicotine-based product? I think that is really, the question that has to be answered.
There's a message that's come on in on the WhatsApp line that says, Lester, shouldn't we also be regulating hubbly-bubbly products? I have seen that it's become part of socializing nowadays, and it's nothing new. Hubbly-bubbly, oka pipe, shisha pipe, it's been around for a while. What I am seeing now is people going from social occasion to social occasion with the hubbly bubblies in tow. Your answer to that question from a listener?
Yes. What we do see, definitely you're right. We see hubbly bubblies being more and more common. I've seen, especially with the young ones, this is so popular. And again, we see the power of marketing, because this product had already been there for ages. But because of the power of marketing, social media, and how they've been packaged differently and the flavors, they've become so popular. But the most concerning thing is that what studies are finding is that hubblies can be even more dangerous than cigarettes. And actually, when you smoke, for example, a hubbly for about in our session, you might actually be taking in as much as nicotine, as much as tar in about 50 cigarettes. So it's actually more dangerous. And what we do see here, again, is an issue of regulation, because the old law only dealt with cigarettes and tobacco, not with the devices. So the new bill which comes in now expands definition to say any device. So we will now see again a closer tie on hubbly bubblies. And I think this is very important, especially in the era of COVID-19. People are sharing the mouthpieces from this product. And we know that this actually increases your risk of COVID-19 infection. So that is really important.
A very basic question here. Hi, Lester. What's the difference between hubbly bubbly and vaping from a risk perspective? Ask this listener. Sharon?
Okay, so, you know, with the vapes, as I say, there's still a debate on how less harmful they are, because with the vapes, they don't contain tobacco. But Hubbly Bubblies contain tobacco. They're basically just, they put charcoal within that chamber, and then they burn the, you know, the tobacco. So actually, because they use charcoal as well, it also has more carbon dioxide. So Hubblies are actually more dangerous. They are really at the high end of the danger when you look at, you know, the tobacco product range. And they have the vapes, really the debate is how less harmful they are, but they still are harmful.
Sharon Nyatsanza, she's the deputy director at the National Council Against Smoking. Your thoughts on that? If you are a smoker and have used a vapor e-cigarette product to wean yourself off cigarettes, tobacco products, I'd like to hear from you. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. A short, curt, and direct messenger. Shut up and mind your business. Leave us smokers alone. You stop drinking. Oh, people can do what they want to. Just raising a very topical conversation of the FDA approving, Barbara, e-cigarettes and vaping products in the United States. Three products, only those that have tobacco and nicotine, not the flavorants, as a way to wean people off smoking. So it may not have health benefits, but would be less harmful than cigarettes and tobacco products. Your thoughts on that? 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567.